RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Stephen Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
All right, a few things that we want to work through here before Steve Kerr comes on the show. We got to fade the Dibbers.
Oh, yeah,
We got two picks.
And if you're not fading along by now, you need to get on board, because all I do is lose, no matter what.
No matter what. Five in a row, right?
That sounds about right.
Call my message phone.
Dude, 1-800-LOSE-LOSE-LOSE.
Yeah. Yeah. And then someone on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, and let's see, 925, I see you. Thank you for listening. I sure wish you could show us listeners the four pages that Greg Cosell put out on the 49ers. Is there any way you could put it on Twitter or something?
First of all, there were seven pages.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, don't hold me to this, and I'm busy right now. I have a show for another hour and 10 minutes. But after that, I'm going to see if I can screen grab all of those and then just turn them into an Instagram story so that people can see what it actually looks like. It is absolute animal stuff.
Yeah, animal style.
To tell me that this man pretty much does that for every NFL game, he's not kidding when he says he doesn't come out of that room. It is absolutely wild, the detail. And truly, with no ego, I wonder if it will make many of you feel the way it makes me feel. Like, I'm a doofus. I'm just, like, we're all like, oh, I know football. You, like, and I know some of us know more than others, whatever. Yeah, some of you played in high school, some of you didn't. Some of you get the terminology, some of us don't. But at no level would you look at this and be like, yeah, that's what I do when I watch a game. No, you don't. No, you don't. The detail, the terminology, the awareness of how many things are going on there that we don't know when we're sitting there with, you know, hummus and pita and the game. It's wild. It is wild. So I really would love for everybody to see this. So I'm going to try to do that here. Maybe after Steve comes on, I'm going to see if I can screen grab those and put them on Instagram. It's MT Willard, and it's, you can check it out.
Educational. Yeah. And, you know, page two, one route you see from the Niners when Shanahan anticipates cover two is seven stop, which functions much like a curl route attacking the same void in the coverage, but it can force the safety to sink and expand, creating even more space. And this is what we see Ricky Pearsall do all the time, the seven stop, where you're going to run a seven route, and then you just stop and you turn against the cover two, and Brock knows it, and so the ball's out early, and Pearsall runs that route where he's going to sell it like he's going deeper, and then he just stops and comes back. And so when Greg breaks it down like that, and you watch the play again in your head, you're like, okay, yeah, Greg, that's what that is.
Yeah.
It's the old seven stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Against cover two.
Got it.
Makes
against cover
sense.
Two.
And the other one that you read, which was, you know, hilarious. And,
oh, man.
You know, when he's talking about, like, you know, the post snap and the coverage and the 1x3 against outside leverage and all the rest of it. And, yeah, he knows this stuff. He's been doing it for damn near 45, 50 years, whatever it is. So to get these notes, that was pretty fun today.
No doubt. And then I want to throw this out also, a tweet I just saw from Matt Barrows, who covers the Niners. And remember earlier we mentioned that Kyle Shanahan, and this is loosely a quote, but basically said, we're going to give it a shot this week. Like, Trent has, there's a chance. There's a chance that Trent Williams plays on Saturday. So Barrows grabbed a couple of previous quotes from Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
So December 18th on Ricky Pearsall, quote, yes, there's a chance. Ricky didn't play.
DNP, yeah.
Christmas Eve, talking about George Kittle, Kyle Shanahan, quote, he's got a chance. Kittle didn't play.
Yeah, yeah.
So Trent has a chance.
He's not playing.
He's not playing. Yeah.
And especially when you talk about a short week and, you know, the idea that if you do push it and something worse happens, he could be gone for the playoff game where you really, really need him. So, yeah, he's got a chance is a pretty clear indication. Now, he didn't say anything like that about McCaffrey, I would imagine. And, you know, you saw McCaffrey over there. He's got 25 carries or touches already, and he's planking, and he's stretching, and they got the Theragun on him. It's like, this guy's an absolute savage.
He's
399 touches. Dude. If he gets his normal load, which would be, I don't know, 25, let's just say, he gets to 424, which would put him in the top 20 all time. In TPS touches per season. And he's not going to get, unless they go really wild, he would need 93 touches to catch James Wilder. I don't know if he's going to get 93 touches in this game. That feels like a lot.
I'm not going to get him in this game, but I mean, can we count playoffs?
I don't think we can. Okay. This is all regular season, but
I mean, there definitely could be. I mean, you hope there's 100 more touches. Because that means there's four more games.
Right. I mean, 100 would be great. That would mean you got the bye, right? And you wind up getting to 500.
Well, and it means you keep winning, too.
Yeah, and a lot of these, like, if you want to look at the top 30 touches in seasons, only about five or six of them are since 2000. The majority of them are, like, James Wilder, 84, and Marcus Allen, 1985.
Yeah, not a lot of bell cows anymore.
Right, and, you know, McCaffrey's a guy who's going to wind up with more than 100 catches on his way to more than 400 touches.
Steve Kerr in 5 minutes, stop stalling.
What am I stalling?
They're fade the dibber. To fade.
You want me to fade?
Yeah, fade. Let's go. Well, here we go, Mr. Ice Cold Picker.
All right, stop.
What?
Collaborate and listen.
That's right.
Dibs is back with a brand new edition.
Ice, baby.
Stacking losses like cordwood in the backyard.
We back. So we got double primetime action this week. Obviously, the 49ers and Seahawks will play Saturday night. We're going to package that one up, hold it right over here for just a second. But on Sunday night football, elimination sensation.
Cha-ching!
It is the Steelers and the Ravens. The Steelers have been leading this division for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And all of a sudden, here they come into the final game of the year as a dog, because this game is in Baltimore. Not sure about Lamar Jackson, but the spread says he's going to play. Ravens and Steelers this weekend, and the Ravens -3.5. Dibs?
I got the game in Pittsburgh, incidentally.
Oh, Grandy? Is Grandy giving me the wrong line?
I see Acrisure Stadium, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which it may alter my thoughts a little bit.
Hang
on.
He's busy, so let me...
I'm looking right at it.
I trust you. But now I don't trust the spread.
I've got it at Baltimore -3.5.
Okay.
Pittsburgh.
All right. You're all right. And, correct. I mean, games in Pittsburgh.
You got a home dog, and you've got a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and you think, all right, Pittsburgh at home. And TJ Watt is working like heck to make it back, coming off the scary, life-threatening lung incident. So the idea of him playing really bodes well for Pittsburgh. And I look at the advanced analytics. Neither Aaron Rodgers nor Lamar Jackson are playing very good at what they do, which is called quarterback. And so that is a little bit scary for both teams. And I think about what is the number one prevailing factor in this game, and it's the best player on the field. And that best player is a guy who had a monster week last week, and it's Derrick Henry. So I'm going to ride the hot hand. We all love to do that. I'm going to take the Ravens on the road and lay the 3.5.
And lay the...
Goose!
Wow. I want to fade you so bad.
I wish I knew how to fade you.
Bad. But no, because I'm not rooting for Aaron Rodgers over Lamar Jackson.
R-E-L-A-X.
Relax. Yeah, it's one of my favorite players against one of my least favorite players. I'm rooting for the Ravens, so whatever. That's a lot of points to lay in a game like this, but lean into it.
3.5.
I'll go with you, even as losers at 5 in a row. And now, of course, we get to the emotional part.
Yeah,
I don't know what's about to happen, but here we go. The Niners open as 1.5 favorite, and now they're 1.5 dog. This is for everything. The one seed is on the line. The Niners, +1.5. Dibs.
You look at the advanced analytics, as I always do, and if you're in the top right quadrant, that means you have a better-than-average offense and a better-than-average defense. Seattle is one of 7 teams in there, according to EPA, expected points added. The 49ers have a great offense, but as a defense, they leave a lot to be desired. And then you look at this matchup, and Seattle, great rush defense. The 49ers try to run the ball. They do pretty well. The only thing that has me scratching my head about this one is the quarterback matchup, and I'm going to borrow from Public Enemy and say, can't trust him. You just can't trust Sam Darnold in this spot. Brock Purdy is hot. Kyle Shanahan is in his bag, and I'm getting some points. Más puntos, por favor. I'm taking the Niners in the 1.5. Cuckoo! Skuga! Skana!
Skana?
Skaga!
Oh, this is very concerning.
Totally, because I'm ice cold.
You're ice cold.
I'm as cold as ice!
And that's the first game of these two that's going to happen this weekend.
He's putting his 5-game losing streak on the line.
Yeah.
It's, in that game.
We're looking for a little bit of that bounce back.
You just picked the Niners.
A home dog. Don't we like them home dogs?
Yeah, we do.
Cuckoo.
People.
So Niners and Ravens, those are your picks?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, I can't fade either one of those, even though you've lost 5 in a row. I'm just going to lean into your due. I hope you're due. People have been begging all day for you to pick the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm either due and or I'm doo-doo.
Yeah. Well,
that's at least a 4, Grandy. Come on.
It's a 3, but...
It's a 2.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, God.
Now that 2 becomes a 4.
That was a 4. Yeah, yeah. The second part was funny.
I thought the first part was 2, but I'm begging now. It's the last time I'm going to beg this year. Honestly, the one thing, I think Seattle's defense is really good. They're going to make it hard on the Niners. The Niners' defense is not going to make it hard on Sam Darnold and their offense and Charbonnet all the way. Charbonnet could actually... He can run the ball against his team, but it all comes down to Sammy D, and I don't have faith in Sam Darnold. So
I get it. I get it. You're mad about your fantasy season.
I'm not mad.
No, a little bit. A little bit.
I'm mad at myself.
You're about to be mad.
Why?
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and we have breaking news.
What is it?
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Steve Kerr's not coming on.
No. Not that.
I mean, this is how we're going to wrap 2025?
No, Kerr.
Steve Kerr is not coming on. There has been something that came up. There has been what some might refer to a bit of a miscommunication sensation.
That's a book.
And some things have kind of fallen a certain way, and with apologies, Steve will not be joining us tonight. So
is Nicholas Kerr available, or the former pro golfer Christy Kerr? Is there any Kerr out there?
What about Samantha Kerr, the pro soccer player?
Okay, yeah,
would work.
Anybody?
Would work.
Not really. So. I have to also...
Steve, did we lose you?
We did. Listen.
Come on.
This is not a situation... I know in sports, whenever something doesn't go our way, we will do a show the next day and be like, whose fault was it? So who gets the blame pie? This is a not fault situation, but I do want to apologize to each and every one of you 95.7 The Game listeners, because I'm sure many of you... You you might have made a plan around this. You may have hung out a little bit longer than you were going to. I don't want you to feel duped. Like, literally, we just found this out seconds before I passed it along to you. But our sincere apologies that we've been telling you all day that Steve Kerr would be joining us at 5. Steve Kerr's not joining us today.
And I appreciate you saying that.
We'll get you in the new year.
Because you could have done the classic, like, oh, we're trying to make the connection. Stay tuned. Steve Kerr, he had to push it back to 5:10. Coming up in 7 minutes, we will connect with Steve Kerr.
Yep. And then and then we could have faked a bad cell connection or something.
Yep. I could play a bunch of drops and make it sound like he was on the air.
Lee Hacksaw Hamilton used to actually do that on the air.
Really?
I don't care.
He used to take press conferences and then go before the show and record him asking the question and then the press conference answer and make it sound like it was his interview.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Lee, if you're somewhere still, I love you. You're an icon in this business. But yeah, man, you're duping people. And I was there to watch it, so I know.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
I worked there. I saw it.
He cannot be that guy.
Hacksaw Hamilton.
He would do his summer book tour, and he had a room in the back of the station with 1,000 books in it, and he's pulling books out that had been out for 33 years. Brand new book just came out across my desk.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Hacksaw's really good.
I was there.
He cannot be that guy.
I was his update guy.
Are the phones not working in El Cajon?
Damn it, Oceanside.
Always, dude. He would call out cities, Grandy, when he wasn't getting calls. Are the phones not working in Chula Vista?
I want to talk sports you. With you.
Oh, my God, dude. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton.
The Saw.
Yeah. I just did a quick, Wikipedia to see... A, is he alive? Seems that he is. Mm-hmm. And B, how old he is? Is he? You can't find that out.
Oh, is it like Guru? He just kept that under such lock and key that no one will ever know?
I got Lee being 85 or 72.
I got the Giants going.
82 and 75. There's one more time this year. I love that. So anyway.
So Steve Kerr is likely at Del Curry's house or out to dinner with various Currys. Having wine and chopping it up.
I hope he's having wine. I'm having wine tonight. Screw it. Let's do it. It's right. That's it. This is the end of 2025.
My wife and I kind of agreed, we're not going to drink Monday or Tuesday. And then, Wednesday's New Year's. We'll get back to it. But it may have to twist the arm a little bit tonight. It may have to coerce.
Text line thinks Steve Kerr has been fired, by the way. I can confirm that Steve Kerr has not been fired. I do want to give at least a 3, though, to the 415 who texted in, not currently available.
That's solid. That's solid 4, at least.
I mean, I'm glad some of y'all are having fun with it. And by the way...
Steve, did you really want to come on with Willard and Dibs? I do.
No, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't really care.
Thank you. We know that, Steve, that you've made that abundantly clear. Here's my pivot. Listen, we got 54 minutes left in the Willie and Dibby 2025 experience.
There's no pivot.
No.
This thing is off the rails.
Pivot? No, there is.
It's over.
No, listen, we're going to keep batting around the Warriors and the Niners, but there's a little piece of me that's excited about this. I wanted to talk to Steve. I did. At the same time, for our final hour of 2025, instead of being like, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire and Kuminga, you DMP'd. Let's lighten up and have a good time because I was actually, Dibs and I both used the restroom during the last break.
You know what that was, right?
I don't know what you did.
It was a coincidence. I did.
You were in the stall, so I don't know what you
were
doing.
It's because you were in the only urinal.
I know.
We have a floor that has one urinal.
I can't tell you what you were doing in there, so I don't know if it was a urination sensation,
That's
Dibs.
That's a buck, yeah. You didn't know. You didn't know, but anyway.
Anyway, might have been a defecation sensation, but anyway, I don't know. But here's what I'm thinking. I lobbed a question into, what do they call it? The stall.
Very awkward, by the way. There are rules about talking to another male. Like, as men, there's no talking in the bathroom unless you're both at the sink.
No, but there is. There is if you know each other really well.
Okay.
We are very familiar.
Yes. We go
and
way so, back.
And we were the only two in there.
Fair enough.
So I'm like,
normally there are rules.
I'm like, hey, dude.
I got an idea for the back half of the show. And I said, well, hey, we need to fade.
Hey, Dibs.
What are you doing?
Oh, gosh. So I'm like, you know what I want
to know? What is going on here?
He's getting to it.
I'm
going to
get to it.
Steve Kerr up in 7 minutes.
Steve Kerr coming up next year on Willard and Dibs. No, I threw a question into the stall that I think is unfortunately not that easy to answer. And it is, what's the best sports moment of the year for a Bay Area sports fan? So, like, we can do Kuminga and the Niner defense. Yeah. And let's do it. Everything's on the table. We got 51 minutes to go. It's all on the table. You can call about whatever the hell you want. You want to know how Dibs shaves his head? Fire away. But the lines are fully open for what is your favorite sports memory of 2025, Bay Area sports fan? What is your favorite? Like, what's the first thing that pops in your mind when I say that? What's the most fun you had doing sports, man?
Yeah.
In 2025. So 888-957-9570. Right now, fire away. Let's hear some of them. Maybe it'll jog my memory. I have a few that pop to mind as candidates.
Yep, yep.
But 888-957-9570. What stands out as the moment of the year in Bay Area sports? Let's hear it.
Well,
let's
considering
go.
No titles this year. And
correct.
You know, the Warriors had some great moments in their one playoff win over Houston, so there's some of that in there. The 49ers this year have had 7 or 8 moments that you could definitely look at, but the first thing that popped in my mind was a switch-hitting catcher who rattled one off the bricks.
Good one!
Walk off inside the park, 3-run piece.
Inside the park.
From a guy who really doesn't do the hitting very often, but he's not known for the hitting,
right?
But he pumped that thing right out there off the bricks and the huge carom, and Bailey's on the move.
Yep.
So even though it did not culminate in anything, as far as a moment, and that was in a spot where, wow, the Giants, I mean, they beat the Phillies, and it's like maybe they're onto something. Yeah. So, and he also had a walk-off slam later in the year, but it, for me, it's the inside the park 3-run home run
inside,
that stands out.
Inside the park homer from Patrick Bailey is a really good pull. Mm. How about if I give you Game 7 Buddy?
Oh, yeah?
Game 7 Buddy against the Houston Rockets. The only thing, and again, this is just my kind of personal experience. I love hearing everyone's personal attachments to these things. You know, like, were you at the Bailey game? And did you get hit by some beer? Or the Game 7 Buddy thing, I think that would really stand out. On a personal level, though, it was kind of frustrating. Because, and I've shared this before, it's no big deal. I love doing the show. But when very, very emotional Bay Area sports moments are happening on Sunday nights, I have to watch them while also doing a live show that is national and therefore is not focused on the thing that I really want to watch. And it's happened a few times. Game 7 Buddy was on a Sunday night. The Niners and Bears was on a Sunday night.
Yep.
And by the way, that might be a candidate for some people. That game that just happened 48 hours ago might be a candidate for some people. So that, from an experience standpoint, that one didn't feel great, but it is one of the first ones that popped into my mind. Game 7, Buddy, Houston Rockets and Dylan Brooks walking off the court.
Yep.
Done. Pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
Pretty juicy.
And it's 7-2, and then, you know, you go on and whatever happens, happens, but you still were able to prolong that thing, and we all thought, oh boy, they're a live dog against Minnesota, and then Steph gets hurt in game one, and you win that game, and then you lose the next four, and here we are talking about Kuminga all summer. I've been trying to think about the Niner one that stands out, because there are so many, and I don't want to say them all now, because 888-957-9570, people can call in with their own, but for me, it is the punch out from Alfred Collins on Kyren Williams.
I was actually going to say the play that happened about 3 minutes later, which was the 4th-and-1
right
stuff.
Yeah.
The Thursday night game against the Rams. Go ahead. That was a big deal. A
lot of different ones in that game, but for me, it was that punch out with 105 left, and Niners are holding on to a three-point lead, and they're at the four-yard line, and you're thinking, at the very worst, it's going to overtime, but honestly, they're going to punch this in, and now we have Mac Jones. Can Mac Jones lead us down the field? And at that point, you would need a touchdown because you'd be down four if they converted the PAT, and you punch it out, and even though you ended up punting it back and they forced overtime, if you don't punch that out, you lose. You don't win that game. We're not talking one seed. So, yep. I mean, there are other Niner plays you can look at, and I've got my notes here of every single play of every single game, but for me, that's the one where you had no business winning that game.
No, and as the fourth quarter and overtime and everything were coming together, it felt inevitable that the Rams were going to find a way to win. So that's why the Alfred Collins thing is great. But it was kind of the fourth and one stop for me, where it was the finality of it and the fact that the Niners were going to win the football game. And I've told you this, like, we were trying to get a lot of people here from the station to run over there, and Lucas and some friends did, but lovely Christy and I were at Sam's Tavern just down the street right here in the Financial District, which is one of my favorite places. And on a night like that, it very much turns into, because it's a road game, it turns into a very classic kind of Bay Area sports bar experience. So they stuff the Rams on fourth and one, and immediately you have a bar full of people, and the place was absolutely packed. You've got a bar full of people just immediately chanting "Beat LA" at the top of their lungs. And it was just so organic and kind of came from nowhere. And again, a game that I think we all sat down to watch like, oh boy, they're going to get a butt kick tonight. To have that unfold, yeah, that is one that I'm going to take with me tomorrow night as one of the top, for sure.
No doubt. And when you look at this season and how they're now 12-4 with a chance to beat Seattle and be the one seed, if you lose that game, well, now you're 11-5 and you're just, you know, trying to play this game. And maybe you're not even going to play this game the same way, because Seattle would have clinched the division and you'd be 11-5 and the Rams would be 12-4, and you might be resigned to being the sixth seed. And unless you want to beat Seattle and then the Rams lose and then it's tiebreaker. So that game really kind of spun the season in a certain direction. But another play I was thinking about just from the Niners is the throw it up for grabs, Jake Tonjes play that beat Seattle. And the fact that, you know, Kittle gets hurt early in that game and you need Jake Tonjes to go up there and catch a jump ball and a throw that was just kind of a up for grabs kind of play.
You don't know who Jake Tonjes is.
At that point,
When you sat down to watch that game.
Yeah.
And then he catches a game-winning touchdown.
And then the game ends with Shrugosaurus Rex, and I'm looking at it here.
Yep.
Second and four, they're at the 8-yard line. Seattle, so you score, and you go up by 4 points. Jake Moody, the PAT, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
RIC, rest in Commanders.
Yep.
But he made it. But it's a minute and a half left, and then it's JSN for 11. JSN for 41 over Renardo Green. Huff goes offside. Now they're at the 9-yard line and second and goal from the 8. And Bosa comes in, punch it out, recover it, shrug. We win.
Ball
Let's
game.
Go home.
Yeah, absolutely. Zucci just texted us, and I was thinking about not just this one, but one other too. What about acquisitions? How about the Warriors acquiring Jimmy Butler?
Good call. We were at Splash.
How about the Giants acquiring Rafi Devers?
I was in Oxnard.
You were in Oxnard. You know what actually went through my head when we were talking about this? Like the acquisitions, one of the reasons I didn't have them as the first thing that came to mind is I actually, and this is bothering me, I can't remember where I was. I feel like great moments, you're like, I remember exactly where I was. I don't know where I was when the Giants got Devers.
Interesting.
I know the Butler thing. You're right.
Yep.
We were in the middle of a show, which means that we won the pool, by the way.
Yep.
Because everyone knew there was a big acquisition coming, and everyone was like, which show is going to get the breaking news? It was us. And yes, we were sitting at a booth at Splash doing our show and then got to immediately talk it out. So that was really fun. I can't remember where the hell I was or what the scenario was when Devers got acquired.
The Devers was right before Giants-Dodgers Sunday Night Baseball, and Kyle Harrison got pulled from the start while he was in the bullpen.
I still don't remember what the hell I was doing, though.
I was sitting on my couch in my apartment.
Yeah, I was driving back from Santa Barbara because my son Keon was graduating that weekend, and so I was staying in Oxnard because Santa Barbara is way too expensive, and it's about a 20 or 30 minute drive.
Yep.
So I'm cruising back south on 101, or the 101 as they would call it, and I'm listening to Sunday Night Baseball with Roxy Bernstein on the call. And the trade had already happened, whatever, an hour or so, you know, before. I hadn't heard about it. All of a sudden, Roxy's talking about this big deal with Rafi Devers going to the Giants. And I had actually pulled off the roadway. That way I could, you know, pull out my phone and do the, oh, my God, they got Rafi Devers.
Yep.
And so I was just right there when, you know, you come out of the last little mountain range, heading down into the Southland, and Roxy Bernstein broke the news.
A couple other things that I see a lot of your texts, 415 and 510, and thank you, everybody, for sending all these in as we get a little bit off the beaten path. But a lot of people are sending in. First of all, there was that Sharks game against the Penguins not too long ago where they were down, I think, 5-1.
Yep.
And they came all the way back. But also just the general Macklin Celebrini experience. Different games, different moments, the general development of him. And then also to not forget the initial Golden State Valkyries season and the moments that might have come along with that. I know that, you know, the playoffs didn't end up really bringing about any victories or anything, but I will tell you this, the first time that I took some family and friends to a Valkyries game, I will never forget it. I will never forget it because it is such a different experience. And I know it's hard for probably some Golden State Warriors fans to let this sink in. And I think we understand the dynamics even of why, but it is jarring and in some ways startling to be at a Valkyries game and see and experience how different that is. And the fact that it is, quite frankly, louder than a Warriors game. Sorry, it just is. And it's also just a completely different sort of expectation and thought process. Like, people aren't mad when they lose.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
They give them an ovation.
Right.
When they lose, in fact. Everybody stands up at the end of the game and applauds as if, like, I don't know, some sort of soccer match or something had just happened. It's just totally different.
Yeah.
And so because it was the first time I'd ever seen that dynamic, I won't forget it.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old Oracle when, you know, the Warriors were just starting to make their run and they just were starting to be good in the early days of Steph Curry. There wasn't that same level of expectation, and that's part of it. And also, you know, hearing mostly women and younger girls who have heroes now, sports heroes that they can cheer for. And so not only is the volume louder, but the pitch is about an octave or two higher. Yep. As well. And just to have that experience where, like you're saying, you know, most fans were still getting to know the players and getting to know the league, but the excitement of the brand and of the team and the fact that they sold out every single game. It was incredible.
How about the Purdy play to Juice two nights ago? Just the play.
Was that
not the signature play of the season?
I mean, it's one of them. It certainly is one of the signature plays.
Offensively, to me, it is. I get that with the defensive plays made against the Rams, okay, sure, gotcha. But, like, from an offensive highlight standpoint, that's the play of the year. I think that there are some people who believe that that could end up being one of Brock's signature plays of his career.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. Just the way he shimmies and he gets skinny and then he shakes the other one and then he pressurizes the linebacker so they have to come up. But still, they needed another touchdown to win that game.
Right, but for me, the significance of that play is, and I've been, you know this, I've been talking about this for years, and whether you agree or disagree doesn't matter. That play is a narrative buster. It wasn't just a touchdown. It's a not so gentle nudge to anyone who thinks he's a system quarterback or a Shanahan production,
right,
or he needs the Avengers around him. All of this junk that people say, well, then explain that play. Explain that play and then count the quarterbacks in the NFL who can do that.
And the other thing is what Greg Cosell said when he joined us about an hour ago, and Steve Kerr coming up in 8 days right here on Willard and Dibs. But Greg talked about if Mahomes did that, we all would be losing our Casey
Schmidt. Well, Chris Collinsworth sure would have.
Right.
Yeah.
But Purdy does it, and it's, what a great play. But certainly, and actually Collinsworth was giving love to the fact that that was a Mahomesian play.
Right.
And, you know,
it's either Mahomes or Mahomesian if someone else
Allen,
does it.
You know, but
yeah,
the more you stack those plays.
Yes.
Before we go to the phones, I was thinking about one that touched you personally and
what
me a little less so, and probably not anyone else in the audience, but Nyheal Shields Donegan and his run in the U.S. Amateur, the kid from Mill Valley.
Thank you for pulling that.
I just was thinking about, like, off the beaten path ones and the kid who grew up and went to TAM and he's a Mill Valley kid and turns out to be one of the great amateur golfers in the world. And he went on a run at Olympic in the U.S. Am and made it to the semifinals. And yep. I mean, he was pulling off 19th hole, extra time, miracle after miracle. And I just was mentioning it because I don't normally watch the U.S. Amateur. Like, I'll watch the final 36 holes. I'll check it out, whatever, if it's a slow day. But I was locked in on this kid.
Totally.
Because of you and my other friends from Mill Valley and the fact that he's somebody that we all kind of know. I mean, I don't know him, but you certainly do.
Yeah,
so.
my son was his teammate. They actually played together last week. He's, you know, with the holidays, he comes back home and he's always over there. We get to see him off and on.
That just was kind of a fun little, three or four day.
I love that you pulled that because I wouldn't have thought of that, but you're right. The crowd, the local crowd around him grew with each win.
Yep.
And it got to the point where there was just this throng, absolute raucous throng of people following him at Olympic Club each day as the tournament went all the way to its conclusion. And he almost made it all the way to the end. And
if he would have won one more match, then he is in the U.S. Open.
Correct.
And is he in the Masters if he's the runner up?
I'm not sure.
But
I'm not sure. But
he was one win away from getting
one
away. I mean, he's going to get there because he's a phenomenal golfer, but that would have been a ticket puncher had he gotten one more win.
Incredible experience. Very, very good pull. Gene in Oakland has called in. Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling. What's up?
This isn't Gene. This is Steve Kerr. I'm sorry about the communication mix-up. So fire away, guys. Just kidding. All right, so listen.
All right, fine, Gene. What's the deal? What's the deal with you and Jonathan? What's the deal?
What? Oh, he's gone. He's history, man.
Yeah,
we gotta get whatever we can for him.
That's true.
All right, listen. So you covered most of my top moments, but there's one that'll stick with me for a long time, and that's Mac Jones' performance. Actually, in all the games he played, almost all, but especially in that Rams game that you alluded to earlier. I mean, he did his. I mean, he's playing on that bum knee, and there was at one point there where he hobbled off the field, and we thought he was done, only to return to the game and lead us to victory. You know, where would we be without Mac Jones, all right, this year? If we had some no-name backup quarterback filling in, I don't think we'd be in the playoffs. And along with that, any thoughts of trading this guy? You know, because his value is at its greatest. I think it's complete ridiculous nonsense. He's the best insurance policy in professional sports. At $5 million, that's the guy I want backing up Brock Purdy next year.
Gene, thanks. I'm with you. I still don't know. I am far from convinced that there's going to be another team out there that looks at this and goes, let's do a second-round pick and bring Mac Jones over here. Now, we don't get to bring Kyle Shanahan with us, but let's bring Mac Jones over here and make him now our starting quarterback. Maybe somebody wants him to compete for the job or be a placeholder, but what kind of draft capital do you give up for that? That remains to be seen. If I'm wrong, then maybe the Niners would be interested. But I'm right now, I'm more interested in Mac Jones being the quarterback again next year if Brock Purdy gets hurt.
I'm more interested in getting draft capital, even if it's a third. And if you keep him for another year and then he goes as a free agent, you get a third. Them's the rules. Or maybe there's going to be a team out there that sees him as maybe a placeholder plus. And I think about Minnesota, for example, where J.J. McCarthy, he's got an injury history and he may not be the guy. So you bring in somebody like Mac Jones who can push J.J. a little bit and maybe be the guy who actually supplants him if McCarthy doesn't get any better. There's a lot of the teams like, you know, the teams that aren't very good. Tennessee, for example, they're not ready to pivot. And, you know, other bad teams like New Orleans may have found something with Shook. Yep. And so I don't think that there's going to be as many clear-cut teams in need of a QB. I think the Jets are looking for a QB, so maybe he becomes a placeholder plus out in New York.
Maybe placeholder, but again, what kind of draft capital do you give up if what you want out of the guy is only to sort of be a placeholder? I like your point. Let's look around the league, and some of these teams have at least figured out where their starting point is next year. I don't know if they have the answer, but they have their starting point. The Saints, they're going to start with, like, let's see more Tyler Shook. The Browns are going to start with, let's see more Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Let's see more. And so, I don't know. You know, the Raiders, they may end up with the number one overall pick. And so, I think that that's going to be Mendoza. I think that's going to be their quarterback. How many other teams even make sense to go grab Mac Jones?
Maybe Kansas City. I don't know how long Mahomes is going to be out, you know?
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Because Kansas City is still going to fancy itself as a team to be, you know, reckoned with. Miami's the other one, although they are so underwater on the Tua contract. I don't know how they really could. You're not just going to bench Tua in his 50-whatever million.
No, I mean, I would – teams that are in that kind of a scenario, I would just give them a phone and say, call Denver. Because the Broncos did this, and everyone was like, well, that's not doable. And they just ate Russell Wilson's contract. They just ate that thing. And it was literally almost $100 million that they ate. And they have just done nothing but make the playoffs since, and now they're probably going to be the one seed.
Yeah.
2 years later. So you can do it. So that's what I would tell the Dolphins. Just do it. Just do it.
Eat that thing.
Yeah. Just grab the scissors and just, exactly, hold your nose and cut the deal in half and let him go. If that's what you think, and they clearly do, and they're right.
Yeah, no doubt. Right. Yeah.
He's not the guy.
He's not, and so it's difficult. And, you know, Denver, they've been able to do it based on, you know, hitting on a lot of other draft picks, and R.J. Harvey, who's come in and, you know, become the RB1 due to injury, he's been good enough, and the defense and all the rest of it. So you can do it, but you have to do it the right way, and I don't know if Miami is constructed to be that, but quietly there are some options out there for Mac Jones. I'm looking at the numbers. Only 13 quarterbacks have started all 16 games for their teams this year, 13 of 32.
Interesting.
And of that, I don't know how many of these, like, is Stafford going to start this upcoming Sunday?
Right now, McVay says yes, but if the Niners win on Saturday night, the Rams' position is locked.
They're the six.
And therefore,
like Jared Goff, will he start game number 17?
I don't know.
They're out of it.
Yeah.
And
why not?
I guess. But
why not?
I mean, you don't want a terrible thing to happen.
No, you don't. But
Justin Herbert, he's started out. All 16.
He's out.
With the broken hand.
Yeah, they're not playing him.
So he's going to lose his 17th. And, you know, you got Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield and Cam Ward has started all 16, only 13 guys. So, yes, you need a very valuable, good backup. But Kyle Shanahan, man, he can make something out of nothing.
I mean, he hasn't always. He didn't last year.
I mean, last year they were fine. But they had so many other problems. They didn't have McCaffrey.
No, I understand that. But like they had a backup quarterback come in and they couldn't function. So, you know, I don't know. Arizona is a situation I wonder about. I don't know that the Niners are wanting to help out a division foe.
Jacoby Brissett this year, 1-10.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's not the answer.
No, you know, I know.
Carolina, are they sticking with Bryce? You know, I think that his option year has been declined, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know where they're going, but it's not a lot of teams. Matt in San Jose is next. Hi, Matt. What's going on?
Hey, fellas. Happy New Year to you guys.
To you as well.
To the question, it reminded me of the first thought I had. It reminded me of where I was when the Giants lost Correa to the Mets, man. It was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up to go to the bathroom, and I see the notification on my phone. I woke my girlfriend up trying not to react to it. I ended up having a loud reaction. But the top moment in Vegas sports in 2025 for me, and I'm biased, I'll get off the topic quick because you know we only got 15 seconds for hockey, but the Sharks' comeback against Pittsburgh, they were down 5-1 in the third period, and some 19-year-old kid takes over the game. Next thing you know, the game is tied. They go to overtime. And this Wiz kid does it again. They end up winning 6-5 in OT. So I thought that was the best moment for the year.
Matt, great stuff. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Yeah, there's no diminishing that. You're not the first one to bring it up. That was special. And Macklin is special. And one of my favorite. I always say this in sports. LeBron being the number one example. I think one of the hardest things to do for professional athletes is meet the massive hype. When there is so much hype, think Andrew Wiggins or whatever. You know what I mean? Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. When there is that kind of hype, to then meet and succeed it is really, really difficult. LeBron James, like his high school games are on national TV. And then he has become someone who people talk about as potentially the greatest of all time or certainly in the conversation. That's meeting the hype. That's exceeding the hype. Macklin Celebrini looks like that. Like it was the clear, oh my gosh, that's the number one guy who's going to get him. The Sharks win the lottery. They're going to get him. And he is still a baby. And you're looking at him going, I already know. I already know he is every single bit of what the Sharks were hoping he would be. That is tremendously difficult and impressive.
It's very hard. And I'm thinking about like Bryce Harper is another guy who they've been following him since he was a youth. And, you know, he's actually flashed and popped. Mike Trout, same thing. I remember covering his games in single A in the single A World Series, Rancho Cucamonga against the San Jose Giants. Brandon Crawford got brought back from double A just for the series, which was frowned upon at the time, but they somehow slid him in against an 18-year-old Mike Trout, and they are just exchanging bomb skis, and Trout went, I think, four. I have the scorebook at home somewhere.
Oh.
One game, I think he went 4-for-5 with 2 homers and like 17 total bases and 7 runs batted in, and the Giants ultimately won it in 5, but it was the baby Trout against one of the nicest guys I've ever covered, Brandon Crawford. Even then,
Brandon's
like
a super nice guy.
Super nice.
Super nice
and,
guy.
You know, even though he was brought down from double A, he could have been like, what am I doing here? But he played great. He was super friendly. And yeah, I've known him since I was like 09, I think.
Sounds like he was part of the Stay Ready crew.
He was ready. Yeah. And already with a gorgeously coiffed head of hair.
Wow.
Not quite as oily as it turned out to be, but I think he added that a little bit later into his repertoire.
By the way, speaking of the Stay Ready crew.
Yeah.
This is just organic and live. I don't even know exactly what we're going to get here, but remember when you asked Steve Kerr if Jonathan Kuminga can be a part of the Stay Ready crew?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, not really.
I do.
Yeah,
but
that's not really. So then listen to this sound clip yesterday after the Warriors' victory in Brooklyn.
It's tough because he's not really a short minute player. You know, I played a bunch of guys 8-10 minutes. JK's a guy who needs, He needs rhythm. He's not like a Gee who's going to come in, or Pat, and just fly around and, you know, play with great energy for 4 minutes and come out. He needs some rhythm. So he always has to stay ready, and there's a pathway there. But, you know, right now it's not there, but things change quickly in the NBA.
I'm not trying to do a gotcha moment or anything like that at all. Don't get me wrong. But Steve said to you, like, he was very hesitant to say he's part of the stay ready crew. And then in that clip right there, he said he's going to have to stay ready.
He's going to have to stay ready. However, he's a guy who needs minutes. He's not going to thrive in that 6 to 8 minute stint. And so when Steve announced that he's back in the rotation and he got 9 minutes, and I think he got a 7 minute stint and then a 2, and then we haven't seen him since.
Yep.
So there's something going on. And you used the T word earlier talking about toxic. I don't know if it's toxic, but it's B for broken for sure, because whether or not he's in the stay ready crew or not, he's not being allowed to play. Even last night when you got into some GT, some garbage time, he played everybody but Kuminga.
I don't blame the Warriors for this, because business is business. I really do get it, but I don't buy that, because, and when I say that, I'm talking about what you just heard Steve Kerr say. Like, I don't buy that Jonathan Kuminga is actually the 14th man on the bench. I don't buy that he is incapable of high effort in a short period of time. I get it. You can't say what's actually going on, but I just, like, who's with me on that? The reasoning that we're getting cannot really be the full truth anymore. It can't be. I believe that they have had very, very substantive conversations. I think that they are pretty far down the road with them. I think that they probably feel comfortable that something in terms of a deal will happen over the next 30 days or so. And they don't want him to go out there and tear his hamstring. That's what I think is happening. And I actually wonder if that does make all of the Kuminga discussion feel a little bit better. It's not anymore, in my opinion, about whether or not Jonathan's good, whether or not Jonathan hustles, whether or not Jonathan's a fit. It is simply a business decision. We don't want you to get hurt because we're trading you, so you're not playing.
Okay, and that's all fine and good as long as you go out there and you win games, which I don't think that they've done any more regularly since they've made this decision.
Won 4 or 5.
Oh, okay.
Since
they DNP'd him?
No, I'm just saying they've won 4 of their last 5, have they not?
That sounds about right.
Right, I think they've won 4 of their last 5.
Okay, I mean, we can draw the line wherever we want to draw.
But
as
I mean,
far
he's
as...
been not playing for a lot longer than that.
Right.
But yeah, they've won 4 or 5, for whatever that's worth.
It's not worth a lot.
Yeah.
And if you go back, you know, from when he got healthy, he's had 8 DNPs, and in those games, they are 5-3.
Yeah.
So
okay,
you're a tick better. And then there's the other game that he played the 9.5 minutes and they lost. And yeah, that's basically what they are. And on the year, he's 9-9 when he plays. And so, woohoo, big fish dinner. So you're 8-7 when he doesn't play. You're 9-9 when he plays.
No, see,
you're 8-7 when he doesn't.
My point is, I don't think it's not about that anymore. It's about we've decided to trade him. We think we've got a line on something. We're not risking it.
All right.
And that's just me guessing. But that's what I feel.
I think that that's a fair guess, because you can't tell me, and you said this about 4 minutes ago, and Steve Kerr coming up in 11 days,
yep.
You can't tell me that he's their 14th man. What happened?
Nothing.
It's forward promotion.
You're crushing it.
11 days? Might be 7.
It might be. Yeah, it's probably not 11. 11 days from right
week
now.
From Friday.
Yeah.
It's football Friday.
He ain't doing Friday. He doesn't like to wait till Friday. So I'll take the under.
Okay. I was about to say something, but I'll say it off the air. I just thought of something that really bugs me now that I think about it.
Oh, you want to do a special What's Bugging You coming up next?
Nope.
Okay. It's the biggest game of the season on Saturday, and we'd like to invite all of you to Laughing Monk Brewing. Okay, Lo Neal and Evan Giddings will be there. It's right down the street from Levi's. And, yep, you got the free shuttle back and forth, so you don't have to pay to park. That's a pretty good jam. And all you got to do to get on that shuttle is go to 957thegame.com and sign up. Do that quickly, because the seats will go. So 95.7thegame.com and sign up for the shuttle and be out at Laughing Monk on Saturday. We're also sponsored by Safeway, and this is Willard and Dibbs.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
He cannot be that guy.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. And you never know when I'll be on the River Islands guest line. So make sure to keep it locked on 95.7 The Game.
You sure don't. Anyway, we still got some time to hear from a few of you. 888-957-9570.
Yeah.
Dibs' picks are in for the weekend.
The picks are in.
He'll go, you'll go Niners plus 1.5.
Cuckoosh.
You'll go Ravens minus 3.5.
Skagoosh.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Well, we'll see. I mean.
Before we get into the segment, blah, 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 I just want to say, because, yeah, Dibs and I are going to be out for the rest of the week. I want to wish everybody a happy new year. And just, I'm not going to go on and on here. Honestly, 2025, for everyone here at 95.7 The Game, there's just some wonderful momentum going on right now. And we're just so, so appreciative and so happy to have so many of you along for the ride, and we're hoping to add a bunch more coming up next year and keep all of you here and keep having fun and keep doing what we do and keep doing Barrier Sports. And it means the world to us. So thank you so much for making us a part of whatever it is you do each day. 2025 was a wonderful year. We appreciate the hell out of you. To each and every one of you who can hear the sound of our voices right now, Happy New Year. Let's do it again. Let's do it again next year.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, our YouTube audience has grown. Our terrestrial over-the-air radio audience has grown. The Twitch audience, all the great people who come out to our live events. And, you know, the first station to actually do such things. And it's nice to have the JV station kind of follow along and try to copy us like a little brother, but just to be out there doing what we do and, you know, being the leaders in this market, it's super fun. And none of this would happen without you, the fantastic listeners. So yeah, can't wait to chop it up with you again in 2026. It's not a real thing.
No, I know.
It's not a real thing.
No, but it is. It is. And let me be the 800th person to say to you, here at the end of December, wow, this year just flew by.
Right.
Can you believe it?
And let me be the 714th person to say this. Let's be careful out there on New Year's Eve. Don't drink too much.
Yeah. Yeah, like, sure. You know, I mean, Yeah. Be careful.
Over under your bedtime, New Year's Eve, 9 o'clock.
Oh, way over.
Oh, God.
Way over. Way over. I probably was. I might still be at dinner.
You're going to make it to the real midnight?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Okay. That's a great answer.
Yeah. Probably.
We've been doing the East probably. Coast East Coast New Year.
You got a little one.
Even
you
before that. Yeah. Like, I mean, what are we doing? And we can try to hold on for dear life to midnight.
Here's the thing. Like, I can getting to midnight is no issue for me. That's not a problem. I get to midnight a lot of nights. I got to midnight last night. So I'll get to midnight. I just, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What I won't be doing at midnight is being in the middle of some pulsating rave where I then find my girl and we go crazy and make out at the strike of midnight.
Yeah.
That we're not doing.
Sure.
That we're not doing. But if any one of the two of us is going to be asleep by midnight, that would be the lovely Christy, not me.
Gotcha.
She goes to bed earlier than I do.
Yeah.
So we'll do midnight, but it's not like okay, three, yeah. Two, one. Okay, now it's 2026. Okay.
I'm with you.
What are we doing tomorrow?
We got another family with a toddler, with a three-year-old, yeah. Two-and-a-half-year-old coming over, so we're going to probably do not only, we probably won't even do the East New Coast. York.
Yeah, do New York.
We'll probably do like the Portugal.
Okay.
Which is about 4 in the afternoon. Which
I think is happening in about 9 minutes.
We might do the Portugal New Year.
I like that.
Yeah.
Portuguese New Year. Woo!
Go to bed, kids.
All right, before we go back out to the phones, triples for autism. This was a nerve-wracking moment for me. I don't know if anybody else thought of this, but I saw it last night, and I'm like, you all better not screw up my prediction, because I have said over and over, we're doing all the games this year. All the games, at least 10 three-pointers. Therefore, Pettinelli Financial Partners will donate to the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. What'd the Warriors do last night? 10.
On the number?
On the number. Thank goodness. 10 three-pointers, just enough for another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Steph made 5 of them by himself. Good job, Steph. What the hell are the rest of you doing? 5 three-pointers the rest of the team. But that's 33 for 33 on donations this year for Triples for Autism. If you'd like to get involved and make a donation, we'd love it. Go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to pettinellifp.com. Let's go to Jalen in Fresno. Hi, Jalen. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Willie? Long-time fan. Been a fan for a long time. Just wanted to give you guys, for your flowers, Happy New Year. Really appreciate you guys. This is my first time this year actually listening. So I'm a new fan, really first time called to. But I really just wanted to take you guys to where I was, my favorite memory of this 2025. I believe it was where we got Devers. I was at Dodger Stadium that Sunday. It was a packed out stadium. I remember I walked into that stadium thinking we were going to have an orange October. Casey Schmidt hit that grand slam. It was just a great feeling. Good up. It was awesome. But yeah, I just wanted to give you guys that call. That's where I was. And yeah. And also one last thing, my personal achievement this year, I got a hole in one last week.
Hey!
You guys got one too.
Oh, wait, yeah, hold Jalen. So Jalen, I'm going to need to hear some details on that. How far was the hole? What was the club?
Okay, here we go. It was a Dinuba Rich Creek golf course, hole number 3, 130 yards out. I used my 48 degree. One hop back in the hole. It was awesome.
Little gap wedge.
My little brother was yelling.
Yeah.
It was great. Yes.
All right. You're a player.
I love it.
48 degree wedge from 130.
He's young. He's only 28 years
old. It's like that. What's a pitching wedge? That's about somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, 150, 140.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Jalen. Hey, Jalen, thank you.
Thank you
very much. Hole-in-one club. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get there someday.
You keep trying, young buck.
Yeah, it's, well, the problem is
you're
now.
You're going to get there.
Of course, as I've been playing playing the blues and it's like 185. It's a three wood. What are we doing?
Go play some of the par three courses. Those count.
Out there.
Those count.
They do, yeah.
They do.
As long as it's got to be like more than 75 yards. There's some of these par threes that are like super po-dunky.
Well, that's true. Although they still, I mean.
You hit the ball, it goes in the hole, it counts.
It's a hole in one. Yeah.
What if there's a windmill involved?
Huh? Count it.
Okay.
Count
then it. I got a bunch.
Okay. Come on. All right. All right. Good. all right. I honestly have no idea what the answer to this question is. Grandy, what's about to happen on the radio? What's happening here?
We got Best of the Game coming up next.
Okay.
And we're going to hear Baldy on the morning show, and then we're going to hear Cosell with you guys.
Greg Cosell is coming up next on Best of. Greg was great.
He was.
Greg was great. He picked the Niners to beat the Seahawks.
Lock it up.
So did you.
Something's got to give.
I don't like this at all.
Either he's now a gambling expert or I have mushed it for everyone.
I don't think Greg's been wrong, has he?
I don't think he has. Well, he picks the Niners and they haven't lost.
And Dibs hasn't been right. So, yeah, something's got to give.
Oh, boy.
This is the way we're going to end the year, Grandy.
You told me you were happy I lost. So, yeah, this is how we're going to end the
year.
That's
fair. Good point. That's fair.
For Grandy, for Ken, for Mark, I'm officially pissed off.
Hey.
I'm done.
Happy New Year,
Happy
partner.
New Year, brother. Happy it's what New a great year, year it's
I get
been.
To, I get to say Happy New Year to you right now where it doesn't actually tick you off.
Nothing's going to bug me next year.
I love it. I love it. We will be back on Monday, full force, ready to ride. And obviously, we will be either getting ready for a Niner playoff game or we will be sticking our feet up and laughing at the rest of the NFC as they have to work. All week long. So big deal coming up. We can't wait to talk it out with you. Hey, Happy New Year. And yeah, be safe out there, everybody. So here comes Grandy. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. For Grandy, for Ken, for Dibs, for everybody listening in 2025. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.